Bonnie Raines, then a mother of three young kids, remembers the night of March 8, 1971, as she waited nervously in a car outside the four-story yellow brick FBI building in Media. Keith Forsyth, her collaborator, walked into the building's front door disguised as a resident, in a suit and overcoat. Forsyth tried to pick the lock on the second floor of the bureau's office while she waited to create a roadblock outside in case the police arrived. But Forsyth couldn't open the lock. Raines had another idea, but wasn't sure it would work.
When I had been inside the offices a few weeks before, I noticed that second door, and I reported back to the group that there was a great big huge metal steel cabinet blocking the door.
Raines had cased the office while posing as a Swarthmore College student, inquiring about job opportunities for women at the FBI. Forsyth and three others were able to open the second door with a crowbar. Inside, all filing cabinets were unlocked. Bonnie's husband, John, is now retired from Temple's religion department. He was waiting in a parking lot at Swarthmore to transfer the documents.
In extraordinary times, when the ordinary business of government is not being done by government, then in those times, citizens need to come forward, and we did.
The Washington Post decided to publish the stolen documents, which revealed for the first time FBI surveillance and harassment of political activists and infiltration into civil rights and peace organizations. Leads from the documents helped reporters expose the widespread surveillance program called COINTELPRO. Civil rights attorney David Rudofsky says this was not just about embarrassing the FBI.
It was the first concrete proof of FBI surveillance and harassment of a large number of political activists.
200 area FBI agents were assigned to the burglary case, but the group had left no evidence at the scene. Thousands of area activists were potential suspects, and many lived in University City. But Rudofsky says the FBI's investigation backfired.
After about a month or so of this surveillance and harassment, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of a number of people who had been followed and harassed and surveilled.
The FBI settled the case before trial. That summer, leftists in West Philly's Powelton Village held a fair to mock the FBI. Wearing headbands and bell-bottoms, they took photos with a blow-up picture of Hoover, made children's puzzles of photos taken of agents, and auctioned copies of the Media FBI documents. John Raines remembers the agents gave themselves away by their professional attire, short haircuts, and Ford cars. The activists fought back against the easy marks.
The local folks decided to get air horns. And whenever they saw an FBI agent, and FBI agents were just all over the place, they would hit the button on the air horn and go beep. So here you were in University City, and day and night you heard a beep, 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 beep. It was wonderful because the FBI attempt to intimidate citizens backfired.
The Raines and several others from the eight-member group revealed their identities in a just-published book called The Burglary, The Discovery of J. Edgar Hoover's Secret FBI, and related film. With the statute of limitations for their crime long expired, they feel comfortable coming out of the shadows. Sarah Weitz-Kotacek, WHYY News.